Good morning. It's a great day to be in the Lord's house. And Brother Matt, the title of my series is The Supremacy of God's Word. So I think we're right in tune with what you're talking about. If you would turn to Psalms 119. And we will be in start beginning in verse 9. This is the bet section. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With thy lips I have declared all thy judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Dear Lord, thank you for the day. Father, we pray that you would bless the reading and the teaching of your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Wherewithal, that word means how or with what. So David's asking, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? David answered that question in a profound truth. That was the next part of the verse. By taking heed there to according to thy word. The word translated by taking heed is shamar, and it means to keep or obey. Obedience to the word of God will without doubt cleanse our ways, cleanse our lives and all we do. To cleanse in the Hebrew means to be free from defilement, of sin, and from fault. And I thought about that, and that is only accomplished through God, through Christ. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 14:6. Jesus said unto them, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And finally, in 1 John, our great verse, a great verse for us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The supremacy of and obedience of the word of God is the primary focus of this psalm. Verse 10, with my whole heart I have sought thee. Once again, the word translated as whole heart is the soul and the inner man. And it refers to the heart of man, our inner being. This is also referring to wholehearted dedication. Notice the word sought. The word sought is seeking with care and prayer and worship. David cried out with his whole heart, seeking the Lord after God. Seeking after God, sorry. Psalms 111:1. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The phrase praise ye the Lord is literally hallelujah in Hebrew. It means praise ye the Lord. David proclaimed how that he would praise the Lord with his whole heart. Anything less than wholehearted, whole half-hearted praise to God is a pretense. And a pretense means false praise. If we don't praise God with our whole heart, then we're not praising Him. And moreover, David intended to do this publicly and openly in the tabernacle, because the assembly of the upright refers to the tabernacle, and the congregation is church, or the general public of Israel. David announced that he would praise God both in church and in public. We should be doing the same. It was Caleb and Joshua who wholly followed the Lord, and David knew it. Turn to Numbers 14. Numbers. Verse 26. If I can find it. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear this evil generation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do unto you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to the whole number of 20 years and older and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joseph, the son of Nun. Caleb and Joshua were the only ones of that entire generation that came out of Egypt that were allowed to enter the promised land because they were following the Lord wholeheartedly. And David also knew that God required him to seek with the whole heart, to seek God with the whole heart, Deuteronomy 10:12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. The word used here for require is a request. The idea is not mindless conformity to divine law, but willingly choosing to fear the Lord, to love him, to serve him, to walk in his ways, and obey him. Angels obey automatically. God has always desired people, his people, to willingly obey, serve, fear, love him from their hearts. It's not mechanical, in other words. Again, the principle is obedience to God's word is for our good. Whole heart. David also knew that God had promised specific blessing for serving him with a whole heart. Tune to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Verse 13. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass into thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. And then verse 21 to 25. that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sweareth unto your father to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place where your soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river of Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall be your coast be. There shall be no man able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you. So the word if, which is a really, really small word, is conditional. If Israel obeyed all, God promised blessings, great blessings, a promised land. But the condition of such blessing was the obedience to God's word. The only way they were going to be blessed is if they obeyed him. David also knew that Joshua had commanded Israel to serve God with all their hearts. In Joshua 22:5, these are the five charges that he gave. But take diligent heed to do the commandments and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. These five charges remain for us this day, if we want the blessing of God. This is where our blessings come from: obedience to God's word. Next part of the verse, is, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. The word wander, this is interesting to me, because the word wander is shagah, or I think that's how you pronounce it. I don't know Hebrew very well. Can mean to retreat or to flee, and has the sense of being led astray. The thought here is retreating or fleeing from God's word and obedience to it, which I thought was amazing, that we wouldn't even want to do that. In Judges 2, 3, 4, 6, 10, and 13, there's one phrase that just keeps repeating and ringing in my ears. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. But it was amazing the mercy that God showed them even then. Because that's what it's all about, the mercy of God. David pled with God to keep him from being led astray. In Judges 2, 11 through 13. Judges. I got to just find Judges. Way back here. Joshua 2:11. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves to them, and provoked the Lord to anger, and they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And that's because of what you were talking about the other day. When the generation after Joshua died, the people didn't know God. They knew nothing of him. They didn't have a desire to know him. They were doing their their own way. And David was really well aware of the distractions and diversions which in life can lead from detours to God, or detours from God's way. Adultery, deceit, murder. David had his problems too. May we be aware in this day of our issues in our lives that can detour us. Verse 11, back to Psalms. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Verse is often used as the basis for memorizing God's word. But there's more to it. David is reminding God that he has hid his God's word in his heart, that he's meditating on it. The focus is on the heart in this verse and not the mind. As we saturate our minds with the Word of God by meditating on it day and night, it eventually will begin to soak down into our hearts. John 5:39. Search the Scripture, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are which testify of me. It is not head knowledge that changes lives. It is a heart absorbed by the Word of God that has absorbed the Word of God. When this happens, we will not want to sin against God. The heart is the seat of the will, and it's where our decisions are made. If our heart is right, our decisions will be right. And I was reading the devotion this morning. It was talking about one of the things that needs to be done in our lives. There's five things, I think it said. The one that struck me was when it said that every decision you make should be based on this, the Word of God and His will. And I know for a fact, I don't do that all the time. It's one of the things you have to work on. Hiding the Word of God in our heart will modify our behavior also. That's just a given. It's crucial for us as Christians to meditate on it. When God's Word gets in our heart, it will change our lives. It's probably, not probably, it is the thing that will influence us the most, or should. When God's Word gets in our heart, it will change our lives. Notice the last part of this verse. Against thee. All sin is ultimately against God. Our sin may be immediately against another, but finally is a violation of God. We are violating. The one finally violated is God. Any sin in our life is an offense to Him and is righteous and holy. Him who is righteous and holy. The word offense in Hebrew is injury too. And will result in chastisement and loss of fellowship with God. Hosea 5:15. I may not have that one. Yeah, I don't know. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. Now, he was talking about Ephraim here, but he could be talking about any of us. And David knew better than anybody, because Psalms 51 is a testimony to that fact. Turn to Psalms 51. Pastor's been preaching on this, not teaching on this. He's definitely been preaching on this. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I am shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and the inner part, hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors the way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from the blood guiltiness, O God, for thou, God, my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show thee forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. Sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build unto the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness and burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks unto thy altar. David knew that he had sinned against the God, a God only, and that he was the one he hurt the most. Verse 12, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Many times David cried out in praise. I went through, I have Strong's Concordance, and I tapped or did a search on the word praise. The word praise is found 214 times in the Bible, and David has contributed to 150 verses of it. That's a lot of praise. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Here David pauses to praise the Lord. In verse 13, he says, teach me thy statutes. This is the first of nine pleas in Psalm 119 where David asked for God to teach him. This prayer reveals one who is searching for God. It reveals humility of mind, realizing one greater than us who knows the answers of life. David sought for God to teach him the truth of his word. There's that word sought again. Prayer, care, prayer, and worship. How often should we pray such a prayer that God would teach us his statutes? God is the author of his word and the author of all truth. He can instruct the understanding truth. And David pled for God to instruct him in his word. Today, we have an even closer instructor in the Holy Spirit who will teach us all truth. Verse 13, with my lips I have declared all the judgments of my mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of testimonies as much as in all riches. David proclaims, with my lips I have declared the judgment of my mouth, thy mouth. Because he had God's word in his heart, it was not difficult for him to declare it to others. He refers to God's word as the judgment of my mouth. What is in our heart easily comes out on our lips. That can be good or bad, most definitely. David was not ashamed to testify to men of the righteousness and faithfulness of God's salvation. He freely told others of God's loving knowledge and truth. Throughout our Lord's ministry, he did the same. Those who heard him exclaimed, "Never a man spake like this." David opened his mouth to witness God's salvation, and Jesus did the same. That is an example for us today. We need to be telling people. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. In verse 14, David's rejoicing in the way of God's testimony, his word, And the Word of God points us in a good direction if we listen to it. The way of His testimony is more valuable than great riches. It's telling that, as much as in all riches. David was rejoicing in the way that God directed his life from His Word. He says that his excitement for the Word of God was as if he had received millions of dollars. It is hidden treasure. There is infinite wealth in the principle of God's Word for us today. What a way to see God's Word as treasure. Verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto all thy ways. Because of its power and influence and blessing of God's Word, David vowed always to meditate on it. Psalm 1, 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. More importantly, he vowed to have respect. That is, to regard, to pay heed to all that is taught in God's Word. Because if we don't pay heed to it, it's not going to do us any good. It's not going to help us. Verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. David concluded the bet section with two additional vows. He would always take delight in God's word. Some of God's words not easy to delight in. But we always should. This is to desire or to long for and to take pleasure in it. And he would not forget God's word. Forget has to do with neglect or ceasing to care or even ignoring it. These principles remain to this very hour. We need to be in God's word. We ought to always delight in His Word and never forget it. It's too important for us to be reading the Word of God every day. God's Word is supreme. Brother Mel, will you dismiss us, please?